produced by Sharp Creative. This is White Plains Hospital Health Talk, and we're made possible by White Plains Hospital. Grateful to be joined today by Dr. Daniel Wong. He is the board-certified cardiologist and cardioelectrophysiologist here at the hospital and the director of electrophysiology. That's a big mouthful for somebody like me, but I know you have all the details about what an electrophysiologist actually does and is.
Thanks, Laura.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me on the program.
Yes, tell us all about electrophysiology.
Well, electrophysiology is the branch of cardiology that deals with heart rhythm disorders of the heart. So abnormal heart rhythms, for example, heart rates that are too fast, too slow, or irregular.
Mm-hmm. And is this common? I mean, you hear about this sometimes with older people, obviously, when they get a pacemaker or something. Is that part of what it your specialty is in making sure people's heartbeats basically keep on ticking?
Yes, it's more common than we realize. I think all of us know someone who has a pacemaker or has had an irregular heartbeat or has an arrhythmia, the most common of which is atrial fibrillation. It's estimated that 5 million or more Americans have atrial fibrillation, and it gets even more common with age.
And so, I was wondering about that. My father used to say when he was a little boy, he had a heart murmur. Is that similar to something like that?
Similar, but slightly different. Heart murmurs have to do with abnormal sounds that are made by the blood going through various structures of the heart, usually heart valves. Heart arrhythmias might be associated with heart murmurs, but not necessarily. Arrhythmias have to do more with the electrical conduction system of the heart and an abnormality in the way that electricity passes through the heart.
I imagine that this field is really probably exploding, you know, with just the advent of technology and research. Tell us some of the new procedures and techniques, if you would, and what you bring to the table here at White Plains Hospital that maybe has never been done before.
Right. Well, electrophysiology has been around for decades, but up until about the past 30 or 35 years, it was largely a very diagnostic field. A lot of the great groundwork was done in electrophysiology in the 1960s and 1970s just to understand the way the heart beats electrically. Starting in the 70s and beyond, patients started to be able to receive pacemakers and defibrillators with greater and greater frequency. And the field of catheter ablation, which is the other arm of electrophysiology, really started taking off in the late 80s and early 1990s. So in our field now, procedurally, we have two very different treatment arms that we can use to help patients with arrhythmias. Pacemakers and defibrillators, those are the surgical implantations of devices under the chest with some leads in the heart that can treat heart rates that are too slow or too fast.
Yeah.
Catheter ablation is done typically from the groin, and it's a type of cardiac catheterization where, in this case, we're trying to treat heart rates that are too fast due to an abnormal circuit in the heart. And in that situation, we're using electricity or a different source of energy, sometimes freezing or burning, to treat that abnormal focus. So those are the two main arms of what we do procedurally.
Have you had a lot of success with some of the newer technologies and modalities?
Yes. The nice thing about catheter ablation in particular is that there are many different kinds of catheter ablations for many different kinds of arrhythmias, but some of them, some arrhythmias can actually be cured with catheter ablation, which is very satisfying. In medicine today, there still are only a handful of things that we can cure. And for certain types of our arrhythmias, for example, supraventricular tachycardia, patients have an option for catheter ablation where, if successful, they don't need to take lifelong medications.
Oh, that's good to know. And so arrhymias and things, basically problems of the heart, are these lifestyle related, or would you say they're more genetic?
They can be both, and sometimes they can be none of the above. Some people are born with an extra portion of the heart. What we colloquially refer to as an extra nerve, but it's a little more complicated than that, a little more complex than that. Some people are born with a piece of tissue in the heart that doesn't belong there and can conduct electricity and can cause short circuits or arrhythmias. So that we would consider congenital or genetic. And in other situations, lifestyle problems, the same kinds of lifestyle things that can cause other heart problems, like hypertension, being overweight, those sorts of things can also contribute to arrhythmias like atrial fibrillation.
Mm-hmm. How about smoking and those types of
Smoking, as a cardiologist, we just think smoking is bad for you in so many different ways, and it can indirectly be associated with arrhythmias.
That's wonderful. What do you see for the future, even more advanced than what it is now, and what is your hope at some point in your field of expertise to see?
Well, right now, the field of cardiac electrophysiology is very much focused on one of the greatest and growing electrical health problems facing our population, which is atrial fibrillation. It's estimated that almost one in every five Americans will develop atrial fibrillation by the time they reach age 80. So this is a growing problem, and it's a severe problem. And in electrophysiology, we are working on improving catheter ablation as a way to treat atrial fibrillation,
right,
and to stop atrial fibrillation, and also to treat it in situations where it's aggravating other conditions affecting the heart, such as congestive heart failure. So we are now, I think the next 10 years is very exciting in terms of inroads that we'll make, not only with the success of ablation and the safety of ablation, but also in better understanding which types of patients could really benefit from this, both to help them feel better, and now we have some data that it can also help them live longer.
Well, that's wonderful news, and you're at the forefront of that, Dr. Daniel Wong. Thank you so much for explaining all of this to us today, and I appreciate you coming down to Westchester Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you. And to listen always to our